Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Welcome again to Elevated Places, brought to you by EPN, Elevated Places Network. And tonight is Ask Minister Ava with myself, your sister, Ava Muhammad. And this program could not be the place to be were it not for some very special people. First of all, our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad. And then we have our contributors led by our brilliant attorney and legal analyst, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. And of course, when they are available, you will be hearing from Sister Mariam K. Muhammad in health and our dear brother Ruben Muhammad out of Melbourne, Australia, and he's, of course, as we know, been undergoing a health situation with his young daughter, and we continue to keep them in our prayers. And then, of course, none other than the one, the only, my co-host and talent director, Brother Terrence Muhammad, who has become well-known among the Elevated Places team for bringing to us some of the most brilliant and exciting guests imaginable, two of whom we're going to have on this very evening. And, of course, we want you to check out Elevated Places Network on MinisterAva.com, where you can view my lectures that I have been delivering on at Mas Mariam on the Law of God last year, the Real Love in Real Life Q&A sessions, and so much more. My five new ebooks, The Science of Light, Color, and the Mother Plane, The Deportation of Moon and the Legend of the Lost Continent of Atlantis, Can a Muslim Worry? How to Stop Tormenting Yourself and Overcoming Burnout, The Season of Separation, How to Escape Time. These and more are available to you on MinisterAva.com. And so we have a lot to do. We've got a wonderful opportunity, a blessing again, coming up next month, part two of the Nubian Leadership, the National Black Leadership Summit, on April the 3rd. That's next week. And so I'm sure Brother Terrence and the rest of us will talk more about that. But at this time, I'm going to turn the microphone into the capable hands of my wonderful co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam. And once again, we are in the house once again. The first show of spring, I think, unless last Thursday was. I think this is the first show of spring. So I can now say blessed and peace to everyone in the new year. I like it doing it in the springtime instead of the dead of winter. But anyhow, we are here. And once again, it is a lively and a wonderful show to be elevated in the elevated places. And as Dr. Ava said, I can't say it enough. Go to MinisterAva.com, MinisterAva.com. You all are only on the crest of seeing all of the new changes, all of the new things, all of the stuff that's coming. So you want to be a part. You want to be at the ground level to see all of these new things coming. And I'm just reflecting, Dr. Ava. I remember 1997, 1998, 1999 Savior's Day, and all I had to do was stand behind a table, stand behind a vending table, and people were eating up your products and your new books like hotcakes. It was the hottest thing going. It was, give me two of those, give me three of those, give me five of those. And I was trying to look at everybody. What's your husband? But they're like looking at everybody. All right, hold on. Don't walk too far with that book. Because they were just coming like they wanted to snatch them up. And I'm just saying that now you have the opportunity to download, to get the digital. You can go, and there's some books that you get hard copy, MinisterAva.com. But as we're living out this life, as we're living out what is going on, we are still encouraging and making sure that you not only go to NOI.org, but go to NOI.org and look again, listen again, take notes again of the lecture from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, The Criterion, July 4th, 2020. July 4th, 2020, The Criterion. And also just go to NOI.org and learn what we are saying, our position, our stance under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the COVID-19 vaccination. And you need to hear this. You need to know the information, and you need to be prepared. Also, come back tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. on NOI.org and have our self-improvement and our self-improvement study class at 7:30 p.m. and our Sunday meeting at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org. And the last 2 weeks on Wednesday night, I know y'all asking, where is God? Where are you, God? Well, we're going to let you know, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in 1991 let us know who is God. And that lecture was being broadcast this past last two Wednesdays at the same location, NOI.org. And we want to make sure that you go there. And let me just say this. If you didn't know, there is a thing called Final Call Radio. I know you heard about the digital and the Final Call newspaper. If you haven't gotten your copy of the Final Call newspaper, please go to finalcalldigital.com. Get your digital copy, finalcalldigital.com. But if you didn't and you don't want to read, or you maybe you just want to listen, we got something called Final Call Radio. And you can go to finalcall.com, but I'm just let y'all in on a secret. Don't tell nobody. But if you want to tell somebody, go ahead. But on April the 5th will be a year anniversary of the Final Call news, Final Call Radio. And I'm just going to let y'all know that maybe a radiothon and maybe something for a couple of days, for a 72-hour that we're going to be pushing. Just need to be on the lookout, celebrating a year of Final Call Radio. So y'all need to be on the lookout for that. So let me wrap up that wonderful mix of commercials, and let me just know, let y'all know that on yesterday, it was 3 years since we had the march in Washington, D.C., where I was with Common, I was with Kanye West, I was Kim Kardashian, Vic Mensa, Mama Durant. We was all in Washington, D.C. at the March for Our Lives, dealing with the issue of guns. Well, once again, Boulder, Colorado, mass shooting. And the issue, Dr. Ava, that we have always talked about, it's amazing how gun control and gun issues come, but they weren't coming when we was killing one another in L.A., when we was killing one another in the streets of Newark, when we killing the ones in L.A. and Chicago. They weren't coming talking about no gun control. What they were talking about when we was killing ourselves, they were talking about increasing guns in the law enforcement. They weren't talking about pulling guns off. They were talking about sending more weapons, more high-tech weapons to the police to kill us in the streets where we live. They weren't talking about bringing them off, but we looking at these mass killings. We don't be doing mass killings and just sporadic mass killings, but those are once again happening, and now the conversation is being had. We also know that next Monday starts the official case of Derek and Chauvin, I can't think of his last name, the man that killed our brother George Floyd. His official case starts next Monday.
Chauvin,
that's a rally.
Chauvin,
yes. So that will be, they're having a, yep, right. They're having a march and rally in Minnesota, this in Milwaukee. This weekend. Benjamin Crump, Al Sharpton, they're doing a march. Yes, Minneapolis, yes. They're doing it this weekend, but that trial starts on Monday. So I just wanted to bring those particular things up that I can think of right at the top of my mind. And as always, our caller got so much to talk about. Shout out to our brother Ben X for interviewing our brother King Randall. They're talking about doing something for self, not begging the enemy or the other man to do for us what we can do for ourselves. And that's why tonight we're going to have a great, great discussion on the same line, because we always have basis of our foundation: accept your own and be yourself.
We
must have some land to grow our own and have our own. So it's a wonderful time to be on Elevated Places. I'm excited. You got all the websites, NOI.org, MinisterAva.com. No excuses for you not to know and to be a part of this movement. So tell everybody that you know, since they're trying to shut everybody down on YouTube, everybody on Facebook, everybody on Instagram, well, we're going to go ahead and get some land where we're going to be together, and you can't shut nothing down because we're going to be a family. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Well, all right, Brother Terrence Muhammad, Brother Student Minister, and all that, and then some. Yes, sir. Yeah, I had to throw that out there. We're going to talk about that in the coming week. Trust and believe. Yes, sir. But before we get to our special guest tonight on my favorite subject in the world, my favorite goal, the divine goal, meeting God's commandment to come out of her, my people, Black people are beginning to make our exodus, and we're going to be exiting both within the continental United States and beyond the borders of the continental United States. So I can't wait, because tonight's program is actually right out of the pages of the Final Call newspaper, as you noted, this incredible newspaper, Brother Terrence. But before we get to our special guests, we can't get ourselves on an elevated platform until we get some legal insight, because we know that the devil makes mischief by means of the law. And so we have to constantly allow ourselves to be educated and edified on legal matters. And no one is better at it than Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad out of Houston, Texas. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Attorney Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad and Brother Terrence. And thank you so much for having me on the show. Yes, ma'am. And I wanted to begin by saying all praises due to Allah, Sister Dr. Ava. I'm always so blessed and honored to be on your show. And as you're saying, the devil does make mischief by means of the law, as what, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us so well. And that's why the guidance that he is giving us in this week's final call, I think, is so important, with an article called Justice, a Prerequisite to Life. Because this guidance, this is what is keeping our people moving toward salvation and separation, and really just giving us life, because the minister is just so knowledgeable. He's just the best person on the planet, you know, right now, as that Jesus, because he starts off by, in the paragraph, by saying we cannot live without justice. But then, as I, you know, I'm quoting him, he answers the question, what is justice? So he says justice is a prerequisite to life. It is one of the internal principles that the creator of the heavens and the earth has decreed that every creature should have the freedom to be what God created it to be. And I think that's so important because the minister has to explain to us what justice is, because we haven't seen justice since we were brought here for the 400 years of, you know, slavery. And it's interesting because then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his article in the final call is talking about beware of false promises. And I think that's so important in today's, because we're seeing so much false cajoling and promises by this enemy that somehow his, you know, he'll give us friendship, and, you know, voting rights is on the table, and, you know, different other reforms I heard this president talking about, but he's not talking about the problems of the black people. You know, voting is not going to get it, so it's with this type of false promise that we're undergoing right now. And, you know, it's very interesting because this failure to accept the guidance and these, you know, us following these false, misleading promises is really got our people just, you know, in the valley, I think, of death. And it, and it's very interesting to me, Sister Dr. Ava, because last week when our brother Riza Islam was on and he was talking to us this vaccine, you know, it was some computer programming language that was going on as he talked about the technology and the diabolical plans. And so it really kind of made me look at how in law enforcement today, there's this thing where it's called predictive policing. And this is all about data, data, data. And data is being used, collected and used against people, they say, at a time like never before. You know, it was in, I believe, back when Rudy Giuliani was elected the mayor of New York, there was a program called Compass, and it stands for some type of computer programming or computer, I think, analysis. But his then head of the New York Police Department, his name was Bill Bratton, they instituted a way of using stats and collecting data and using what they call algorithms, which that's just a process by which you answer questions or you determine what steps you're going to take. And a lot of times these algorithms, the types of questions are like, what neighborhoods do people live in? What race are they? What type of calls are being made from certain areas, and so on and so forth. A lot of these, you know, we know that data is skewed. We know that it's the racial bias that we saw of yesterday is now being put into these computer programs and being used to surveil us. Things like setting up bails, you have algorithms that predict what future, supposedly, you know, likelihoods are to occur. Our children are being picked up by these children protective agencies using algorithms such as maybe the age of a parent or where that parent lives or, you know, just some real biased evidence against black people once again, but now it's being collected and it's being put into computer systems, and it's being used in the form of algorithms, which they say are sets and steps designed to answer questions or perform tasks. They say it's like a recipe. So, you know, I believe that we should go through these type of steps to answer the questions about whether or not, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, whether or not it's impossible for us to get along with whites. Because it's so clear, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we can't live with these people in peace. And the evidence is clear. The factors are there. The data is there. You know, such as the article that's in the final call, I think it's just an excellent article it combines in its entitled cries, condemnation, but no convictions. And so no convictions. And in that article, it talks about the factors. You know, see, these are the data. This is what we need to be using to process to come up with the answer that the separation is, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, there's no solution to the problem between the slave master and their slaves other than the one slave's going for self. Because when we continue to see police shooting unarmed men, as in the killing of our brother George Floyd, we're continuing to see the lack of convictions of many times. Cops, they sometimes are charged, but that's rarely, hardly ever convicted. You know, we're seeing that they never really go to prison, hardly. We're seeing that these settlements are made in the millions, which, as you know, Sister Ava, there has to be some culpability there if these governments are paying millions of dollars for these murders to these families. So, therefore, there has to be some fault. There is criminal fault. But, again, these are the same factors that we should be using to form in our mind the prediction that these people aren't going to change. And, you know, and we see the withholding of evidence. You know, we see this withholding of evidence in the brother, I believe his last name was Crude, who was murdered in Rochester, New York. That's what this article is saying. They're saying that the actual sister who protested, I believe it was in our poor brother Elijah, I believe his name is McLean, the poor young man who was murdered, injected with something, and just died of a heart attack. Our poor, you know, young man. Well, in that instance, the protesters, I believe one of them has charges against her, criminal charges, but this is nothing new. So, again, I just wanted to say that these are the type of factors that we should use with our minds to say this is a long history of injustice, and we should conclude that there's no other solution than what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has told us. And, you know, that would be an accurate conclusion. And this is something that we have to really look at as a people, Sister Dr. Ava. So I just wanted to put out that technology, because I think we're really coming into a time where technology is being used against us, as well as, you know, the great strides that we've made being able to use technology to collect evidence of, you know, the police shootings and the pictures. But we have to keep our eyes open on this. So I thank you so much, ma'am, for your time. And
ma'am, thank you. You are always so insightful. And
all praise to the Lord.
Yes, ma'am. And this program just has a golden thread of unity in point number four of what the Muslims want, and that is having come to terms with the impossibility of living in peace with the children of our slave master. We have no choice but to go for self. And so I'm really thankful that Brother Terrence was able to reach out and connect with our guest tonight, Brother Lamont and Sister Adila Muhammad. And if you go to page 5 of the current Final Call newspaper, there's a beautiful, very inspiring, even the graphics, everything about it is very inspiring story. And it includes this beautiful brother and sister, their photo, because the heading of the story, the title is Warm Welcome. Opportunity greets blacks who leave America. And the story is about the growing number of black people who live here in America who are, as the writer, Brother J.S. Adams says, putting the United States in the rear view mirror, Brother Terrence. Okay. And now,
that's right.
going to reconnecting with our roots in Africa, the Caribbean, and parts of the Americas. And I found this story very fascinating, and I'm not going to intrude. I want to let Brother Lamont and Sister Adila tell their own narrative, because I'm very interested in hearing not only about the fact that a couple of years ago they started looking into leaving their home in Atlanta, Georgia, and going and shortly they will become official citizens of Rwanda. And I think that's awesome, because you don't often hear that. You hear about Ghana and Senegal, you know, the countries on the West Coast when you arrive on the continent. But I really want to hear about Rwanda and how that was selected. So first let me greet Brother Lamont and Sister Adila with Assalamu Alaikum, and thank you both for taking time out to join us this evening.
Wa alaikum salam. Oh, thank you, Sister Dr. Ava, and staff, I should say, for this opportunity. It's truly an honor. We are both very humble to be on the Elevated Places program, and quite nervous, if you will. But nonetheless, we are excited.
Oh, no, you're amazing.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, there's a photo of the two of you on page 5 on the story, and it's a beautiful photo, and it says you're on a boat in Rwanda in this photo, and I see a glimpse of that blue water behind you. But I want the two of you to share with us how did this idea come about, and then what did you have to do to make it a reality?
Go ahead, sweetie. Yes, I'll allow my wife to go right ahead.
Well, like you said, we have been researching for 2 years, 4 countries. Ghana was the main one, Senegal, Tanzania, and Rwanda. And in the process, we really, really was concentrating on Ghana. But a couple years ago, we started seeing too much Asian influence and American influence in the country, just in our basic research, that we kind of got turned away from it. We didn't want to go somewhere where it's the same lifestyle that we have here. So Ghana kind of got marked off, and then we were looking into Senegal. We were looking into places that had dual citizenship. That was our first primary concern. But once we stopped researching Ghana, we kind of just let it go for a little while. And in that process, there was over and over and over again a lot of police killing. And the last one, which was the George Floyd, was just too much. I recall being in the bedroom by myself, watching him crying out for his mom, and it just took over me. I couldn't breathe. I kind of like fell on the bed and was like screaming in a pillow. It was too much grief for me to handle that. And prior to that, I had a situation happen. I had a situation happen where I got stopped by the police. Or a stop sign. I didn't yield at a stop sign. And, you know, I knew I didn't. Once he told me that I didn't stop, I knew I didn't stop. But all my paperwork is good. I'm not thinking anything is wrong. He comes back over and says, well, I actually have a warrant for my arrest. And he couldn't see what it was, but it was for something that happened almost 10 years ago. So once they took me to the police station, I found out that it was for a driving with an expired tag 10 years ago. Like, I got pulled over going to the mosque. Mm-hmm. And the next day, I went and got the tag fixed. When we went to court, I brought my paperwork in, and the judge dismissed it, or he told us to go home. They will send us out some paperwork. I mean, they will, you know, send us out paperwork. 2 years went by, and nothing was sent out. I'm thinking it was dismissed, and it wasn't. They had put a gave me a court date. 2 years later, sent it to the address. We no longer live there. And then the third year, there was a bench warrant for my arrest. I didn't know any of it. At this point, I've gotten passports. I've brought new cars. Got new cars registered, been in and out of the country, and nothing ever registered that I had a warrant out for my arrest. So when I was, and took me into the jail, they left me there for 4 days. I was four days before they transported me to, to the Atlanta, I'm getting emotional, to the Atlanta jail on Ray Street. And there, I was strip searched twice in front of men. Still not, no, I couldn't, my husband couldn't bail me out because they never could tell me what the charges were in the Smyrna jail. I had to wait until Atlanta came and got me in order for them to, you know, tell me what the charges are. So we never could get bailed out. We never knew what, how much it was or anything. And so as I finally get to Atlanta, finally found out that what the charges were for this expired tag, he had to bail me out. And, you know, I was strong the whole time until that last moment. And he had corrected me the other day when I said it on the show. It wasn't – he had to
pick up.
We needed $11 more. But what he would have said it to me on the phone, it was like, I don't have the last $11 for this bill. At that point, I kind of like collapsed. That's when I finally fell out crying.
Too much.
And so it was too much. It was too much. By that fourth day, I was like, okay. It was just too much. It was very overwhelming, especially that day being searched twice and in front of all these people. It just it messed me up. So when I got home, my spirit was kind of crushed. It just never was back to normal. I love Atlanta. Like, it's the best city ever in the U.S. I didn't have that love for it anymore. My whole drive was, I want to get out of here. And then the George Floyd situation happened. At that point, when I crashed on that bed crying, it was for all of it. And I said to my husband, it's time to go. We need to go. And that's when we really started focusing on moving out again. We started researching. And Rhonda just checked all the boxes. Rhonda had everything that we were looking for and stuff we never even thought we needed. Like, Rhonda is, if we can explain, like, our lifestyle here in the nation, that's everyday life for Rhondan people. It's the second safest country in the world, the second cleanest country in the world. And the leadership there is so awesome. This man, the president, Paul Kagame, he goes out into the community with his people, and they clean every third Saturday of the month. And he's out there cleaning with them. You know, the leadership is amazing. And when I think about this place, I finally think about, I feel like I have peace. And all that I've been going through, being here, watching our people die by the enemy, over and over and over and over again. I feel like we have the opportunity to go here where there's peace and be able to show our people it's possible. We can do this, and we can lead the way if that's what Allah wants for us to do. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to plan our journey so that anybody else that wants to come out, it's going to be easy and smooth for them because we already broke the ground.
Wow.
Dr. Ava, wow, is we just uncover a story inside of a story.
Yes.
I'm like, when you said this is family, I'm like, this is family. Like, oh, Adila, that's peace. Brother Mark, that's family. What y'all talking about? Don't be scared.
Right.
But I never knew. But the deep thing about was what she says, Dr. Ava, is that we got people that we know right amongst us that are suffering, have gone through stuff. So even though we may be talking about Africa, we're also talking about a story of why we want to get the hell up out of here and the trauma that people are going through, why the hell we want to separate? Why the hell we want to get away from it? Because I was angry. I had to hold my phone so I didn't throw it and break it because what she just said, and like I said, she holding back tears, but that okay, let me
yeah,
the show go.
Wow.
That's a whole nother
thing. It's interesting that when we revisited the idea to actually to leave, to move, we started right back where we went right back to where we started, which was Ghana. But interestingly enough, and we tried to figure out, well, how did it happen, which is we weren't searching for Rwanda. We weren't searching for Tanzania or anywhere in East Africa. Somehow it came into view, and nothing spooky, but it just presented itself that it drew our interest, and we said, well, let's consider. Because at this point, we're like, look, anywhere got to be better than here. So, let's look at it. Let's take a look into it and let's see where it will lead us. And it led us. And I would go, my wife, she's a chef. She has her own catering company. So she works according to her events, whereas I would go work day to day where I was working. So she has some downtime. I'm going to work. And it never failed. Every time that I came home from work, she's in front of me biting her nails, eager to tell me all of what she found in information about Rwanda.
Wow.
And, you know, she's letting me unwind. She's letting me, you know, she's got the dinner. Everything is, as soon as I kick back, she's like, okay, let me tell you what I found today. and it was just, and for me, as her husband, to see life come back into her, it was a joy to be able to watch that in and of itself. And so she was out fail every day. So it became the level of commitment and dedication and conviction that she had and has. It really created the tone and the spirit for our journey in going into Rwanda. So she did her due diligence. You know, I kind of felt some type of way, like, wait, what can I do? So nonetheless, it did. It set that tone, and we have been moving in this direction ever since. And lo and behold, inshallah, as the schedule, we will be in Rwanda as citizens next week.
Wow. I'm sorry, I keep saying wow.
Oh, no, yes.
I just said next week, like, yeah, we're just going to be in Rwanda next week, you know.
Right.
Not on the West Coast, not up in New York or D.C. Yeah, I'm just going to Rwanda next week. I holler back.
The teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Come on now.
In real life.
Yes.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah.
Yes.
Praise be to Allah. And that, go right ahead. I apologize. Go right ahead.
Now I was going to ask you about the first time you ever went and what it was like. You know, was someone there to meet you? Did you, what kind of connections, if any, did you make in advance? And, I want to hear about how it was when you stepped off an airplane and you're in Rwanda, because that's so distant. You know, it's East Africa, and naturally, the Caucasians, they love to stereotype our countries like they do us, and resent a certain image that's completely unlike the reality. You know, I wanted to get a take on what it looks and feels like. Because I'm coming over there after y'all get
called
in.
Oh, absolutely.
So we actually went to Tanzania, is how they say it there, first. We had planned.
Okay.
It was my birthday coming up, And I had said to him, listen,
giving me orders.
So, you know, I want to go to Africa for my birthday. We're going to do two countries. And it was important for me to make sure I can take care of it so he wouldn't be stressing about the finances or what we got to do here with the bills, because we're in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
This all came out with COVID. So,
wow.
So with COVID, it knocked my business out, completely shut me down. So at this point, I'm realizing I feel this energy, this spirit that Allah wants us to go, because things just kept happening, and he made it so easy, so seamless, we never had to figure out how to make it happen.
Never.
So we pieced it all together.
Oh, my God.
So we got tickets to Tanzania one way first. And that was it. I was like, I could get our tickets this time. I had gotten my last contract, came in, and I think I surprised you or something. I was like, I got the ticket.
I'm like, all right,
we
now.
We got one-way ticket.
Wait a minute now.
We got the tickets, and I'm in a bunch of groups. And on Facebook, it's like a black expat group. It's black people trying to leave America, black exodus group, all kinds of groups of people trying to get out of here. And I noticed this young guy who was doing tours in Tanzania. Well, in Zanzibar, actually.
Right.
So, and this talks about the people of Africa. So I see him, and I'm like, okay, he looks like the people that they tell us, you know, that don't want us here. They tell us they're not friendly. They hate Americans. They don't like you. Why are you going over there? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So me reaching out to this young guy who had these little packages, I was a little nervous. So as soon as I hit him up on Facebook, he responded back to me. He offered me this big, this beautiful tour package. And when I tell you, he offered me, it was three, four days worth of tours for like $200. And I was like, are you serious? Now, we've been in and out of the country doing excursions where we paid $200 or $100 a person. He gave me a tour package for $220. But when he sent it, the itinerary was, we will pick you up from the airport and bring you to your hotel.
They did.
And we will be your driver the whole time you're here.
And they did.
And take you to this excursion and that excursion and so forth for $200. $200. So I'm sitting there like, wow, what? I didn't think it was real. And he asked for no money up front. No money up front.
Oh, my God.
So he even sent me different hotels. I found my own hotel, which I paid, what we pay? We were there for a week and paid.
Like $100.
No,
it was
$300 for a whole week.
Right.
Which
Come
included
on. Let's go.
On the most beautiful ocean you will ever see in your life.
No.
Ever. $300. So when we get to the airport, we walk out, and my brother's there with his sign. You're here. Like, we didn't have to figure out nothing. This man, and he's a young, how old is he? 26.
Yeah, 26.
Stayed with us the whole time.
Zanzibar
is a Muslim country. All Muslim. And they live off of the principles of Islam. So, he greeted us. Salaam alaikum.
So we were like, yeah. Wa alaikum salam.
I promise you. Yeah. And we have it set up. So any believer want to come over there, my brother, we already have it set up where he's going to be their guy. Because, and he's well known all over Zanzibar. He's trusted.
It's so much. I mean, you know, and we want to be respectful of time, so please, at any moment, cut us off.
Because I get excited about it.
You know, it's so much.
Man, y'all better go ahead and talk, because y'all getting my 50th birthday vacation set. So I'm trying to figure out where I'm going first. So you just might want to keep talking for a few more minutes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wanted to add to the point that my wife just made with respect to this young man, and experience, one of the many of experience we had with him as it relates to his trust fact, as a trust factor of these different businesses and the people of Zanzibar. We were sitting, he took us to a particular restaurant, and we were sitting there with a lot of people at the restaurant, and so it was a bit of a wait. And so we were patient enough, but he said, I'll be back. He took the menu with him, and we were on the second floor. He went downstairs, and when he went downstairs to the main floor, when he came back up, he had our food. He had our food that we decided we were going to order. I'm like, Oz, what are you doing? How did you?
In his hands, not the waiter.
In his hands. He's literally like, now he's now the server now for us. And I'm like, Oz, how do you?
My
no worries, no worries. And I'm like, how did they allow you? And it was just natural. It was just natural. It was just so natural for him to have that level of service. But the more impactful aspect of it is that they trusted him so much that they would know that, you know, he's in good hands. We're in good hands. He's okay.
He didn't give him money right. Well, but on top of that, like the things this young man, he just loves the fact that we're Muslim.
He loves that.
He loves it. And he said, I asked him, I said, Osman, how do you feel about Black Americans? And his eyes are watery. He says, I see it on the news. I see it on YouTube. You guys are being slaughtered over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said,
I see you walking with
signs saying Black Lives Matter. Mm. Over here, Black Lives really matter.
Right.
And he said, why do y'all stay there? And I just sat there and looked at him like, dang.
How do you answer that question?
And I said, how do you feel about Black Americans? He said, y'all are our family.
Right.
We look at y'all like that's our family over there. Why can't they get out? This is what came out of his mouth. And I'm like, ugh. And he's 26 years old.
26 years old.
26. His packaging, he took us on a sunset boat tour.
Oh, my God.
And I said to him, I said, Osman, can you get us a sunset boat tour? Because at the hotel, they wanted $55 a person. I said, well, let me check with Osman and see. I'd rather give it to him. He said, yeah, I could do a sunset boat tour. So we go out with Osman. We're on an old, authentic boat. And he got African drummers on the boat.
Oh, my God.
And they're playing the dog on drums and dancing. And it's like 8 or 10 of us on this boat. And they're going around the Indian Ocean 2 hours to see the sunset. He charged us
$20.
$20.
$20.
So, and it was the most amazing. I've done many excursions, okay? I'm a thrill seeker. This excursion brought tears to my eyes. It was connecting to my soul in such a way where I can't even explain it. It was so peaceful, and you're hearing the ancestry drums, and you're watching. I can't explain it.
You can't. It's really something that is hard to really explain
to
match the experience. You know, it truly was phenomenal. And, you know, I'm sure others can attest to this, that if they've gone out of the country, wherever it may be, the thought in mind is always, okay, what, especially a Muslim country. So the thought in mind is, what do they know about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? And what is their perspective? So you're always looking for the opportunity to be able to share or to connect, and the opportunity presented itself when on a tour going to one of the beaches, because we almost missed the opportunity to go to the beach. My wife was very adamant, so they had to make some quick changes. So we made it to the beach. And in this particular instance, it was the partner of the tour who had the same exact spirit.
Another Muslim.
Ayub is his name. Ayub is his name. And we had the opportunity to go to the beach, and just like, you know, any beach, you know, you go, you don't anticipate being in the water at all times, so you might bring with you a book. So I had my bag, and I had my Quran with me, thinking, okay, this is an opportunity, maybe I can sit back and read some, you know, verses from the Quran. And he looked into my bag because it was open, and he noticed the Quran that was there. And he said, oh, I, your Quran. And I said, yeah, by all means, you can take a look at it. So he looked at it, and he was very familiar with the translation, Maulana Muhammad Ali. So I thought at that moment, here's an opportunity to be able to inquire, well, first to give more specification as to our community of Islam. We are with the Nation of Islam. And, you know, our leader is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Have you heard of him? And he was thinking, and as he was thinking, I pulled up on my phone the picture of the minister. And when I put it in front of him, he was so excited when he saw the minister. He scared the life out of my wife. Because he jumped and he was like, oh, I love him. I love him. He said, my father always sends me videos of him for me to watch. Oh, I love him. We love him. And he kept going on. And I said, and it brought tears to both of us.
And it teared up like, wow.
It brought tears to us because it's like it's true to form. The minister has truly made friends for us.
All over.
And it even further true to form in that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, giving us that the whole earth, we are the inheritors of it. We can be righteous because the righteous is all over the globe. And there's no way that we can't know that we won't be accepted.
Right.
If we maintain our righteousness and continue to strive in that way, he, Allah, Master Fraud Muhammad, will find those we need to be connected with and connected to.
Yeah.
And so it was very confirming for us.
That was definitely confirmation. Definitely confirmation. So from there, because we didn't even get to question.
Oh, so sorry.
We flew from there to Rwanda. And Tanzania is right next to Rwanda. So it's a short flight. And when we got the tickets ahead of time, it was only $99 to fly from one country to the next. Over here, we have international fees attached, right? So your plane ticket will be $500, then there's a $300 international fee,
right?
And then there's a $150 tax. Kids are expensive over here. But once you leave America and fly into another country, there's no international fees. So the person we were with over in Tanzania, she flew from London and got round-trip tickets from London to Tanzania for $220. Oh, there's no international fees.
Right.
So leaving Tanzania to go to Rwanda was only $39. When we got to Rwanda, so that was beautiful, and that was confirmation. We went to an Islamic country. It was so spiritual, and we knew Allah was with us. So we get to Rwanda, and as soon as we get to Rwanda and you get off the plane, in order to go into their airport,
it's tight.
You have to step in. Well, first of all, there's sinks everywhere. And it's not new sinks. These are not pre-COVID sinks. This is their process, period. They're very hygienic people.
Very civilized.
And when you get to the before you walk into the airport, it's a mat that sits in like some kind of solution that you are to step in. It's sort of like how you come to a Muslim house, you got to take your shoes off.
Right.
You step in the solution and you purify your feet, and then you walk into their airport.
Right, with your shoes on.
With your shoes on. And
that's
it's so
awesome.
Organized. So from there, they send you over to the left. No, you're sanitizing your hands again.
Yeah.
And then you go to the left and you get your COVID test. And then they escort you to, you go in and you go to immigration. And you do your visa stuff. And then you go to the next spot, which is getting your COVID test. They do it right then and there. They don't do this thing where they put it up your nose. They do it in your mouth. They do a mouth swab. Very thorough. You get your results back in 24 hours, but until you get them back, they send you to a designated hotel where you are to stay in quarantine until the results come back to your phone. And
yes,
once
ma'am.
You get your results, you're allowed to go out into their country.
Wow.
That alone was so amazing for us.
Love
we were like,
so impressive.
They're organized.
They're orderly.
Very pleasant. Very pleasant. Very calm, beautiful people. And even in our quarantine, we're sitting outside on the patio and just hearing the sounds of their birds and the beauty of this country. I can't really explain. It puts you in the mind of Jamaica, Hollywood, and Florida. Like, if you could mix them all up, that's where you are.
Wow, that's interesting.
Well, I can't think of
okay.
Different areas remind me of what I see Hollywood is, but the trees and the tropical beauty of it reminds me of Jamaica. And then Florida because of the palm trees and the flowers and the different exotic birds. Thank you. I'm colorful. But it's so beautiful. And it's the country, the people, we have a person over there, in case she's listening, we call her Auntie. And the first day we met her, she says to us, her president, Paul Kagame, said to the country, when the black Americans come, treat them good because they come from the same background. They have the same background that we have. Everyone knows the story about the genocide and Hotel Rwanda and all. A lot of that is what happened is true. It's not the way they portrayed it in the movie.
Hollywood.
So this is an atonement country. This man took all the titles. How does that? Who does that sound like? There's no title.
Why?
There's no. I am. There's no isms. There's no sexisms. There's no racism. When you get out or colorism. When you come into that country, you are considered a black African is what they said. You're not treated like you are a foreigner. Whatever rights that anyone has in that country, you have those same rights.
Right. Come on now. Come on.
And so any benefits that they have, you qualify for right off the bat. So even in there's Christianity, there's Islam, there's Catholic, there's all these different religions, you wouldn't be able to tell because there's no big mega churches and no big synagogues and no big – everything is private. It's your business. Whatever you want to be, you're allowed to be.
Way of life.
It's such a beautiful place. And what we notice in Tanzania and Rwanda, even the police officers, especially in Tanzania, they don't have guns.
They didn't have not one gun.
No guns.
And it was foreign strangers. Like, well, how do you enforce? But they have a level of respect that doesn't require that type of enforcement. They
right.
respect the fact that they
right.
are. You follow, and so
that's the law enforcement.
It sounds familiar. Sounds real familiar.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
That's right.
And we ask the people there over and over again, have you ever met anyone that was shot and killed? They're looking like, oh my God, no. Have you met anyone that's ever been shot by the police? No. These things, they never even heard of such a thing. That's normal for our everyday life here in the States. They never even have to think about it. If you research Rwanda, women from Pakistan that come over there, women that are dressed in hijabs and fully covered, they say they go jogging at night because it's so safe. They have no fear.
So safe. It's so safe. So clean.
So clean. So you won't find graffiti. You won't find the tissue running down the street. If someone see it, they're picking it up.
And I'm gonna tell you, I was looking. We learned this information prior to us going, is that this is the cleanest country in of Africa and the second in the world. I'm thinking, okay,
yeah, let's see.
I was really looking, and I promised. It was so clean. Now I thought about that. I said, well, you know, you can't the governing structure cannot see everything.
Right.
You can't see everything. So that tells me that it's not being done because they are forced to do it. This is the willingness of the people. The people
Correct.
Desire to have the cleanliness,
mm-hmm.
and they maintain and make sure that there is cleanliness and that it is kept up and maintained. Because how else, my thinking is, how else could it be? So that's a reflection of the investment that he, the president of the country, has put into the people. He's very well invested in the people, which, again, is very familiar.
very familiar.
And so it's true to form. It's so true to form. And what my wife was saying, as far as the leadership, another impressive component is that 60% of the leadership is women
in the government.
And it's not. This is on purpose. It's on purpose, though.
Yeah, he's doing it on purpose.
He purposely wanted, because the president, if I may say it in this way, his premise is to completely rid the country of corruption, to never revisit the possibility of that happening again. And the presence of women will be assuring of that to make sure that there is not a level of corruption.
Yeah.
So Rwanda is a very progressive country, technologically wise. All of the conferencing that takes place among the different leaders of the various countries of Africa, they tend to always meet right there in Rwanda because of the advancement of the technology, and among other things. And
look, we got to talk about the business thing real quick.
Go right ahead, sweetie.
So what was more intriguing to us
about the business,
they have the ease of business is what they call it, and they're considered one of the best in the world because, like I said, right off the plane, you can go and apply for a business license and have it in 6 hours, even if you don't even know what kind of business you want to have.
That's right.
And then you have 90 days to come back. Yes. And they don't go off of credit. They don't go off of references, who you know, what you know. They don't go off of any of that. You have the money. You want to rent this place, go ahead and pay the rent. Open your business. It's $150. No matter if you're Rwandan or if you're American or Asian or whatever, it's $150. And you're set. Open your business. They're not coming out with inspections. No one's trying to shut you down because you ain't following their whatever guidelines. It's $150. Go open your business. That's how easy it is. And that blew me away because here, you know, I have a catering company. We've been in business for 8 years, but I can't get my location that I want because I don't have $50,000 sitting in my account for 90 days. And I don't have the references. And I don't have the business credit that they need me to have so I can get my little small space downtown. So we got tired of all the no's. I did all the legwork I could do here. This was my foundation. But now we have the opportunity to go to another country and bring everything that we've been learning, everything that we've been taught, our business expertise, our being in a nation is a whole other level of training that we're going to bring. And we plan to open up a couple businesses there. We're opening up a restaurant. It's called Ikawa Cafe and Bistro, which is basically in Kiswahili, Ikawa means coffee. We have a bookstore that's going to be strategically throughout the cafe part, where we have the messenger books. We got a whole bunch of Black American authors that we already shipped these books over there. Our idea is to bring the Black American experience to them because they have no clue. We know what they've been through, and it's been horrific.
But they need to know.
They got to know.
They have to know, because that's important for us to
connect.
To connect, you know, because the identity, you know, we have, you know, we've been given, believers of the Nation of Islam, we've been given an identity. We know we're not American in a sense, and we know that, you know, Africa, why does the devil call our people Africans? We've been given that understanding, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us our true identity. We are Asiatic Black men and women. And so the experience that we as Black men and women here in America, we feel is important, because there was a concern that going to Africa, what do you do with the experience that you've had, good, bad, or indifferent? It is the experience that we've had in America as Black men and women that have molded and shaped us, and we are fortunate enough to have been brought to a refining a refinement of it through the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the example from the minister, Louis Farrakhan, and we can now go and not go to the table with our hands out. We can go to them with something, and something that they too need.
Right. And they want it.
And they want it. They want it. They really do. And so that's an added excitement and component, and it's a greater realization that, wow, you know, we have an experience that we have something that we can offer.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know if we answered the question.
Oh, yes. Well, as best as you can, short of us all going, because, you know, I'm listening to you, and then I pulled up some of the images. I'm looking at Zanzibar right now, and I'm just having a fit. Okay, because this is stunning. This is so beautiful. These white beaches and turquoise blue water and
the coloring of the water is so unique. And the water is warm. I want to go myself.
This is my new objective. Boy, me and my family, you know, Tanzania. Then we come over and spend time with you all in Rwanda.
Crazy to all of us.
And I never knew.
Come on now, that's what I'm talking about.
I never knew it. You know, I knew about the mountain gorillas from the other film about the white woman and the mountain. You know, the natural, the wildlife is amazing. But, sitting there, I'm also thinking of Bill Gates and this vaccine and depopulation.
Sure.
And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saying how they envy, white people envy us. They envy our physical beauty. They envy what Allah gave us, what the planet that we created for ourselves. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we like to live around the equator. That's where we're the healthiest. And that's where this is. I mean,
that's where it is.
This is mind-blowing.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah.
How did they pick Rwanda? How did they
right.
I am so thankful for you all, because now we have that connection, Brother Terrence and Mr. Rona and Sister Pamela and everybody. We're there, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Come on now.
Yes, ma'am.
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm gonna do like I usually do. I'm gonna be on the advance team. I'm gonna be on the advance team. I'm gonna go ahead before everybody gets there. I'm gonna be on the advance. Just to check it out for everybody.
You can hardly get an Uber in America for what that brother was charging. You know, to take you everywhere.
Exactly. Yes, and that included his excursion.
I don't know what more he
crazy
for.
Yes, sir.
Well,
yes,
you,
sir.
We're
if,
opening
if
our
you, But if the two of you would stay with us, we're going to go to the phones now.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
This is amazing, and you know, the trauma that you went through in Atlanta. You ought to see the I'm getting all these text messages from the Elevated Places, the separation team. And they're talking about, absolutely, I'm getting my passport ready. Let's go, me too. The word is going to go out tonight from the Elevated Places listeners, okay? This is hot.
Wow.
But it goes back to, you know, the trauma that you all underwent, and especially what Sister Adila went through. You know, I think about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saying, Allah will make you separate. And see, you're showing us this twofold aspect of our exodus, because even as we break and take over territory here so that we can have the sovereignty and the independence to begin to do trade and these kinds of things, because our independence here is what's going to finally free the continent of Africa, or its true name, East Asia, because that's
yes, ma'am.
What enables these white people to continue to dominate over there is the tentacles of the United States. You know, so
yes, ma'am.
we have to do what we have to do here. But I'm coming over there at least 1 month out of the year. I'm out
yes,
here
ma'am.
In the winter. You know, like the Christians say, I'm claiming it.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It is.
Yeah. Praise you to our Lord.
You all made my total day. I'm going to start on the phones, and we're going to go to Sister Ula. This is one of our favorite and most famous callers. As-salamu alaykum,
yes,
Ula. Are you with us? Sister Ula. Okay, we're going to have to come back.
Oh.
Hold on. She doesn't mind it. Uh-oh, she's there. Were you asleep?
Yeah.
I had the phone on me. And I, you all are laughing. Hold on.
So I said, hold on.
Okay, so we're just sitting here live on the air. We'll hold.
Yes. I'm going to be like one of those songsters. I'm getting ready to pack my bags. I'm headed to Rwanda in the morning. Because that is a beautiful thing, to listen to them young people talking about this country. And we're not getting that over here. We don't live
that's
like
right.
that. We live in a
that's right.
we live in a world constantly under stress, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
And there's,
yes, ma'am.
There's
yes.
no peace in this country, you know. Even
None.
Among us, we're not doing right by ourselves. There's
we're
a prayer.
Right.
It's what's that prayer? I have been unjust to myself. We are being unjust to ourselves. Great jealousy, envy, thus destruction
yes.
among our own. You know, we should
yes,
be, like I
yes.
said, you're going to look up one day, Sister Ava, and you're going to be wondering why I'll be calling you from Rwanda. You know?
No, you're not going to be calling me from Rwanda because I'll be there.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me. Now you might. The worst you have to do is reach me in Tanzania, okay,
yeah.
in Zanzibar. Okay.
Uh-oh.
On the beach.
All right now.
Yes,
uh-oh.
But that is right
with
next
your
door.
Sunglasses on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, say it, please.
I want
no,
to mess with the darn
My husband,
no.
my grandbabies, my daughters, everybody. We're all
uh-oh.
We're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
we'll
yes.
all be there together. But let
That's
Sister Darcelle know, Sister Ava, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Loud
Have
and clear.
Sister Darcelle email me at lady.mccall@yahoo.com because I had I heard her ask about me last week. It's Lady, small letter.
She's on tonight.
Yeah, well, that's why
okay.
I want her to email me. It's all small letters,
okay.
LETTIE.McCall@yahoo.com. And tell
so
her.
So that's M-C-C-A-L-L? M-C-C-A-L-L?
Dot. It's a period behind the McCall@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And tell her and her daughter they got a free meal coming.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
yes,
there's a couple. I won't call their name, but they've been to Detroit, and I went to their hotel, and it was a beautiful family. I think it was four in the family, and I brought them a meal that they really enjoyed. They had the bean soup. They had the chicken fish combo. They had homemade carrot cake cupcakes and wheat muffins, you know. So I thank Allah for the couple that came on. Y'all made my day because I was really feeling down, you know.
Oh, praise God.
People next door burning garbage in the whole house was smelling like smoke, you know.
Oh,
I mean, these are negresses. So thank you, Sister Ava. Let somebody else get on. Love you.
Thank
awesome
you,
lady.
Sister.
Love you more.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wow, this is one of the most inspiring programs we've had in the sense of actually moving forward on moving toward the hereafter.
Wow.
You know, because heaven is a condition of life. And this planet is gorgeous, and we've been so deprived and denied. And in the nature, you're opening up our mind, because we can get real close-minded and just get caught up in the day-to-day mundane things, and then, you know, trying to just survive. You know, like you're saying about George Floyd, I think that took black people in America to another place in terms of our realization. You know, and so wherever we were, we went another step away. I mean, even black people I know that are completely, you know, my husband calls them hope fiends, like a dope fiend, but they're hope fiends. You know, they hope we can find a way to stay with white people. But even that mentality was deeply impacted.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
You know, for Allah to have the whole world shut down, and so that the world was on pause, and we were forced to watch this. We watched this black man beg for his life, call for his dead mother, with this beast with his knee on his neck.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And torture him, lynch him.
Right.
None. Yeah. And knowing he's being filmed, but I'm going to tell you, the minister recently brought that up, you know, having a conversation with the Muslims about, you know, you don't film that, okay?
Right, right.
We got to get back into our true nature, because...
Yes, ma'am.
You don't come and do that to one of us and come back out alive and go on about your business.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
I always say, you couldn't put your hand in a beehive and come out with a hand. I'll tell you
come
that.
Come on now. Come
as
on
as
now.
As little
that's
as
right.
they are. Okay.
That's right. That's right.
Because they're going to send you to the ER. They absolutely are going to send you to the ER. If you try to come in and mess with their community.
That's
it's not happening.
That's
and so we do have to reconnect, because they made slaves on one end and colonies. After they took all the young, virile, young black men and the young, productive black women, because these were teenagers that were kidnapped and brought here in 1555. They may have caught up a couple of, as I say, OGs like myself or something. We just may have got caught up here and there. But they were taking the youth. You know,
wow, yes,
the
ma'am.
Youth.
Wow.
And they have never stopped focusing on the youth. And as we're taught, you know, whenever a wolf approaches a herd of sheep, a wolf will never eat sheep if a lamb is available.
Oh, wow.
The baby, yeah.
Wow.
They want the baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
wow.
like these children coming up from Mexico. What is that about?
Right. That's right.
There's something wrong with that picture.
That's right.
See, that you're telling me mothers are just letting their children go and sending them... We're looking at the reintroduction of enslavement. This is sex trafficking. This is, you know, where are these young children ending up? In the home of two homosexuals?
Right.
In the home of some wealthy freak white people, or just to be somebody's
Come on.
Slave labor?
That's right.
And they didn't even want us, Irvis. They want to clear the earth of us.
Right.
Their contempt for us is at an all-time high. So we better get to move it. And that's why we thank Allah for y'all. Y'all are the real deal.
Praise be to Allah.
We got Brother Frank who's calling in with a comment. Our brother is he always brings something exciting for us to get hyped about.
Yeah.
But let's see what we have tonight, Brother Frank. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum assalam, my beautiful sister and my beautiful brother. How y'all doing this evening? I'm going to tell your guests. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum assalam, sir.
Hey, listen, y'all can put me in the same category with Sister Ulam, because I'm sitting here enjoying everything I'm hearing about Africa. And because, see, it really has put me to an ease about Africa. See, my biggest concern was, will we be trading one form of racism for another? That was my biggest concern because, see, I went to school with them. I enjoyed taxing with them. Now, they don't speak for all of them over there, but I was so glad to hear what I heard today about how we are treated and respected over there. That was like so, it was like close to heaven as I've heard, other than Wakanda. We all know that's fiction. You know what I'm saying? So I really enjoyed what I was hearing tonight, which led me to confusion now. As I was enjoying the conversation and enlightenment, like y'all were, I feel like I was there. I'm kind of confused now. Now, when we talking about separation and come out of her, which I'm all for from day one, so don't get me wrong there. Now I'm confused. What structure of settlement are we really want to focus and zero in on? Is it to end the act or to live amongst those, another community of people, and be as them, or are we talking about our own space, our own land? You see what I'm saying? Because, see, that's what I was leaning at for Australia's concern. And when they took the position that they took about they want to save it for their wildlife and this and that, and well, Allah showed, let his citizens be known about that. He devastated one-third of that country. Okay, well, that's another subject right there, the wildlife and the land. Now, they had broken up everything like bridges and roads and towns and cities. Australia wouldn't get fire burn like the way it did. But I'm going to stay here what we're talking about as far as, like, if we was to settle in Africa, are we talking about our own space or are we talking about living amongst another community? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yes, all right.
Like I had said, Rhonda, one of the main reasons why we chose Rhonda was if you study any other African country, you can't own land there without having a local person name on the deed. Rhonda, like I said, treats you as a citizen right off the bat. You can buy land, and it's your land.
I love that,
Paul. It's not a deeded property. And I have some friends over there now. She just brought, they call it hectares, which is 2.5 acres for us. She just brought a hectare of land. They showed us $500. They showed us, I follow some people on YouTube who was selling a lakefront property, lakefront land, which is 2.5 acres, 1 hectare, for $15,000 on the lake. And what's the guy named? Is it Bill Gates? No, the white guy I said is over there.
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett is over there now buying up infrastructure and roads because they're building a new airport, a new international airport in Rhonda. So the land over there, I had another person that they just brought a land where you can see the whole entire city. It sits up on a hill, the most beautiful view, and they paid $3,500 for that. So for one, I like to joke around and say, for your stimulus check, you can buy 2.5 acres of land in Africa and own it for your whole entire life. And you know in the next 5 years, because Rhonda's on the map, if you just did a buy and hold, that property value you just paid $5,000 for is probably going to triple in the value of it. And even
well, let me ask you this, Paul. Let me ask you this right quick.
Okay.
Can I go and finish up there? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to sit on the phone and I don't get other callers. But listen, how would they feel about 45 to 60 million black Native Americans coming out? in our land.
They don't look. They don't have any racism in them in their bodies. They want us to come over there.
Okay. You asked a question then. So the answer would be yes. If we were to Exodus there, we could do it like that. Okay.
Yeah, and like I said, their president said when he knows that we're coming. The president said when they come, not if they come.
Yeah,
because he said they're coming.
Part.
Yeah, he said when they come, treat them good because they and they say that's our brothers and our sisters.
Yeah.
They didn't look at us like that. They said, "Why are you still there? Why?" And
well,
for me, I heard what you said about Wakanda. No, the brother had mentioned Wakanda. I tell my husband all the time, I'm going to get a T-shirt saying Rwanda is my Wakanda. And one day we were sitting on a patio there, and it was a Friday, and we're just talking, and I was explaining to him that I felt like if I had to explain or if I had to imagine what the hereafter felt like, it would be this moment right here because this felt like this was our hereafter America. And that same day, if you remember, we heard the Adon being called from the villages.
Mm-hmm.
It was they were going to Juma, but it was like so much confirmation on this day. It was amazing. And we knew that this is what Allah wants us to do, not just for us, but to make sure we always talk about it. We want the believers to know that we have options. There's a reason why we are taught the comforts of the planet Earth. There's a reason why we are taught the actual facts. We have options. We can choose wherever we want to live. The whole Earth belongs to us. And they want us to come. They want their country to elevate to higher levels. They want our experiences. We came through the worst imaginable history in the world. And look at the black man and woman today. Look how we live in today. And we're thinking this is major. They want us over there. Why not help build a country up that's all black and that wants you and that's going to treat you kind for it and be a part of it? Not to take from them, but to add to them all that we've been taught.
I heard that.
That's what we're going. That's what we're trying to do. That's our whole aim and purpose on this Exodus, not to run away from the white man over here and what he's done to us. We can't run away from that. It's embedded in me. It's an engram at this point. But to take all that we've been given in the teachings to a country that wants it and build on it.
That's right. And before I forget, before I forget, Sister Adela and Brother Lamont, you know, people have been asking, answering so many questions. Y'all going to have to get a Google number or a website so everybody can call you all and get some information. People are now blowing us up. They want to know. No, seriously, people really want to know how to get in touch with you. Somebody said, do they have Wi-Fi there? Somebody asked about Wi-Fi connection. No, seriously, people ask about Wi-Fi. People are trying to reach out to you. So y'all got to get the website up or let them know how to reach y'all.
Okay, we have a YouTube channel called The Residential Tours. We're documenting every aspect of this journey on that channel. We have to upload a whole bunch of stuff.
We're
documenting our whole entire journey on the residential tours. We're on Facebook
Instagram.
Facebook, you know, I'm under Adela Muhammad. He's under L. Douglas. What did you change it?
Lamont
Muhammad. They already hitting us up in the inbox, so just continue on. And we love to give the information. We love to respond. No problem.
Yeah, we absolutely. And please, by all means, feel free to reach out. You know, that's a part of what we enjoy in being of service to whomever.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't hesitate. You know, whatever it is that we can, we will definitely do. And whatever we can't, we will make a way, as far as information is concerned.
And I'm not trying to put a plug in, but we are going to be opening our own Airbnb, inshallah, May 1st. We know the believers, I've been getting hit so much that they want to come. Just give us to May 1st. Our Airbnb will be up, and we'll be ready for you, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Thank you. I'll be there.
I already know you be the first one, TC.
What's the name of this the YouTube channel again?
It's the residential tourist, and just
the
briefly, we.
Tourist?
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We intended to have this YouTube page several months ago, which was initially intended to document our residency here in Atlanta and all of the discoveries in Atlanta, because we really like and love Atlanta. And it's so many experiences that we've had apart and together.
Yeah.
So we figure we're moving and we'll continue with new purpose and meaning as residents, not of just Atlanta or not even just of Rwanda, but just of the earth, you know. But we'll be in Rwanda, and so we want to continue to document the experience that it will be to help, you know, just open our world. Everyone can be a part of the journey as well, you know. So that's the intent and the purpose and aim of it.
Right.
Yeah, we do our 25-day countdown on the YouTube channel. So that's when we started, was the 25th day where we started our countdown. We're waiting for Mr. Editor here to put up some more stuff, but it's coming.
Praise be to Allah. We got a lot of callers. We have Sister Latika, who's calling in with both a question and a comment.
Yes,
ma'am.
Sister Donna Muhammad in Memphis, she just subscribed to the channel.
Oh,
I'm telling you, my phone is blowing up with text messages. Fired up.
Oh, Allah.
This is
real. So humbling. It's so humbling. Wow.
Mind-blowing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sister Latika, are you there? Uh-oh.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, here she is.
Walaikum salam, ma'am. I'm very close with the dealer. I was actually going to ask the questions just to put it out there, but everybody that went before me did it. I wanted them to, you know, give some information about the real estate and give more information about their opening up the Airbnb. So, but I did want to say this too, to put that out there, because they're not just going alone. They're taking their family, their moms with them.
Yes. Don't forget
that. That's awesome.
You forgot about the mom.
Yes, we're taking both of our moms. Yes, and then my grandbaby and his niece, and my daughter will be back and forth till she figure out where she want to stay. That was six of us.
Wow. That is phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
And the fact that you can even say that, like, she's going to go back and forth, Rwanda, Atlanta, ATL, Rwanda, until she figure out what she want to do. I don't know if I want to be in ATL or Rwanda. Let me figure it out. Chocolate City or Chocolate City. I don't know. We'll just go back and forth until I figure myself out.
Flight, it's about an 18-hour flight.
It's crazy.
But that, look at the expansion of our minds.
Literally.
And these teachings brought that about.
Yes.
Praise be to Allah. All praises be to Allah. All of it. Wow. All of it.
So we have Brother Daryl who has a question.
Okay.
As-salamu alaykum, family.
Well,
I had my time set and got sidetracked and missed about a good hour, and I caught the brothers and sisters about Luanda over in Africa.
I
would like to get some information because I'm ready to get out of here too, but I won't do a citizen because we don't want to leave what we suffered over here as well.
Right.
But I always wanted to go home. To a home that our ancestors were taken from and bought here. And notice Stevie Wonder already made his exodus.
Yeah, that's right.
The teaching is so beautiful. We're falling right in line, and I'm ready to get some information and get out of here and do like the brother said, that his daughter want to make sure in Chocolate Land which way they want to make their mind up, but we want to be able to come back and forth. But I would love to come to Africa and start a new life there, because it's just, you know, it's just so much that we done went through here, but I don't want to give up our citizen, because we still have family here and may not want to leave, but we still want to open that door through the exodus here so we can have dual citizen. So I'm geeked already, so it's just a dream come true that I always wanted to go home to Africa.
Wow.
So this is our chance, and so I want to be a part of that as well. So I guess sister could get information and give my number to them. And because, like I said, they don't know about me not having my sight. I still would like to have someone to show me how to, because I'm ready to get rid of my stimulus check now.
Come on now.
No, yes, sir.
And buy some substance over there. And so I love you all. May Allah continue to bless you. But I know
you.
And one more thing about what you said, Sister Ava, about George Floyd. It's going to be some mess because they're trying to buy a family out for $27 million, but everybody still say they want a conviction. They're trying to break it down to a third degree.
That's right.
That third degree means he might get slapped on the hand. No, this has to
that's
stop.
Right.
And they already said if they don't do right, it's going to be some mess. This
that's
is
right.
it. So
come on now.
So I love you all, and everybody stay safe. As-salamu alaikum.
Love you too, sir.
And that's a good point, you know, about the settlement. The family is entitled to that and more because they can never be compensated. Not only for losing him, but the manner in which they lost him. That ruins a person's life. I mean, you go on, but you're never the same. It just cuts a hole in your heart that never heals. But we still want, you know, I wish, let me be quiet. But you know, I'm for the Old Testament. I'm for Islamic law, an eye for an eye.
Come on now.
You know, because
justice
is balance. It's balance, and so
you
took a life. And that's got to be balanced. That you don't get bound. That we don't get balanced from 3 years of incarceration or probation. And see the fact that they are all of them are out on bail, including him. You know, typically in this country, on a murder one charge, particularly one is violent and horrific, there is no bail. There is no bail set. Because the likelihood is that you will flee because you can't face the severity of the punishment. But the arrogance of white America is amazing. You know, you look at this this shooter the other day in Colorado. I mean, they always bring them in unhurt, you know, alive.
Right.
No harm
right.
done to them. But a black man can be in his own car with his baby in the back seat and the mother, the child next to him in the passenger seat and have his face shot off because he says, "Officer, I have a lawful weapon in the glove compartment. Just want to get it." And he gets his face shot.
So
Allah's making us separate. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we got Brother John calling in with some insight for us. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
How are you,
Sister
Brother
Ava?
John? Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm great. And as-salamu alaykum to the guests and everyone. This is such a beautiful, beautiful. I was just getting chills as I was listening to this. I mean, it's like I've been thinking about this for a while. And
yes, sir.
Done a lot of research. Also, I had a couple of questions, but before I get to that, I really wanted to talk about this COVID trial that they was coming up. All the trials they're doing on these children now. We really need to be paying attention.
Oh my God! Yes.
They're starting on the 5 to 11 year old trials for them, the 12 to 15 year old, and they're getting ready to do the 6 month and up trials.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we don't pay attention. Next thing you know, they done tricked us into some Krispy Kreme donuts to go get us some shots.
Right.
So your shots.
Right.
And that's nothing but to get us used to showing your personal information, mm-hmm. medical information, so that you get so easy. So now when you walk into to go by the 7-Eleven, they're gonna want to see it before you even walk in. So we have right. to resist this easy thing that they're handing to us, because a donut every day, that's death by mouth or death by injection.
In
which one you want?
Come on now.
That's exactly right.
So
that's right.
Krispy Kreme donuts are nothing that a person should be eating every day for the rest of the year.
Come on.
So that's, you know, that's like the what's that commercial? No one can eat just one. You're gonna buy another one. So they know that.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Because that's a drug. Sugar
fall.
Is a drug.
We have to ask ourselves the question: can the devil fool a Muslim? We have to ask that question to ourselves.
Right.
That's right.
Ask that. Yeah. But when we switching subjects back to going to the motherland, there are several countries, and I don't know if Rwanda is one of these. Maybe the brother and the sister can say this, but there are a lot of African countries and countries in Central America that are looking for people that have retired on this, the retirement check, the Social Security check. Most people mm-hmm. struggling with that $1,200 a month. You can go to most of these countries and live for $1,800 to $1,000 mm-hmm. easily. And live
easily.
Like a king or a queen based on rather yep. have space. So, and like
right.
they were saying, and then you get all the benefits of the people of that country as far as medical when you get to a certain age.
That's right.
9 yards. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know if Rwanda was the same way.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Absolutely.
There's a family we follow on YouTube, and they were interviewing a sister that came from South Carolina. She has her retirement check. I think she said about $900 a month. And she was showing off her apartment that she had over there in Rwanda with her security guard and the cleaning people that come in for her every day. And they come in and they bring her food.
Yeah.
And she was quarantining there. Mm-hmm. She pays $300
a month. $300
a month. So and his mom plan to open day center there because there's a lot of Black American seniors headed to Rwanda. This is like the new retirement spot. There's a lot of them there. There's actually an MDT there. That's a pioneer or not.
I'm not sure, but yeah.
There's an MDT there. She resides with a sister named Mama Amicus, and she has the I don't know if anyone actually followed the resort in Ghana. It's not a resort, but it's she has a hotel. She has a, what you call it, in Ghana.
Bread
where
breakfast.
You can come
bread,
stay
bread
on the
breakfast.
Beach. Yeah, something like that.
Bread, yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Uh-huh.
And she left Ghana to come to Rwanda because it was just a way more relaxed and peaceful country. So she has her son running the business over there, and she's retired and living in Rwanda right now. She loves Rwanda. And she's from Philly? Where's she?
Oh, Sister Rita?
No, Sister Mama Amicus. They're all from over here. There's so many seniors running to go over there for the more relaxed life. Yeah.
Right. So did you two realize that Zanzibar means land of the black? Did you realize that?
No, I did not know that, actually.
That's
I did not
yeah,
know
that.
Come on. Yeah, isn't that powerful?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, the etymology of the word really means in reference to the dark skin or land of the dark skin inhabitants or land of the blacks. That's what Zanzibar really means.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. So everything that you're saying, I've been researching for a while. I don't really...
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this, but I was going to say it later, but I have helped, I'm in Houston, so I've helped to start, helped with some other brothers and stuff in Africa. We formulated the Texas West African Chamber of Commerce here in Houston. It's 17 West African countries. So, and we have already brought dignitaries, the ambassador of Benin was here right before last year at this time, right after Savior's Day last year. I came back and we hosted him. He's also they just had an uprising, but we hosted him in Houston, and he's also the ambassador for Benin to Canada. I'm basically saying, but so things are being set up to where we can just walk into all 17 countries just showing who we are. That's all we have to do. And I want to pass it on to you today, but there's a lot of other things that's going on that how Black Coffee Party is doing down here for you, with you and for you today, so we can be effective, so we can separate and don't have to be like that little city outside of Chicago where they're going to give you $25,000 supposedly for reparations.
Oh,
so you hand it right to the right to the white person that's going to be building the house. They probably don't even have Black contractors on the list to even get into that.
Exactly.
It's all an inside job to make them think they're getting something. And and this is that we must not take. So we got to have a militant mosque, like the minister said. You're right there under our nose in Chicago, and you want to set up a reparation conference from the man who started reparations, who told us that we're supposed to separate without even getting out, without even asking what can we do? Somebody needs to go check them. That's just what John talking. I may need to be quiet, but I'm like, how can you just do that and we sitting right there?
That's right.
You don't even get guidance. But anyway, sister, brother, and sister, thank you
for treading,
opening it up and enlightening everyone that we have options.
That's right.
We're 196,940,000 square miles blown up. We can do whatever we want.
All right.
May Allah continue to bless you and success. Anything I can do to help you, brothers and sisters, just let me know. I will be getting on your channel. Yes, ma'am. And have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Ava. We love you. Thank you for being the spirit of separation.
More.
And Brother Darius, thank you for having a beautiful wife. Salaam alaikum.
In the next couple of years, we need to have Savior's Day over there. That's what we need to do.
Imagine that.
We actually have the Savior's Day guy listening for the Arima, so who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Brother Owens over there.
He will
he's
be
not there, but he's right. He's
because I know he gets around. He doesn't play.
Oh yeah,
Ottawa.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
He's on every
he
continent.
Doesn't play.
Yes, man, you're right.
He's as bad as Brother Terrence. You don't know where he's going to fall.
Right.
At all, literally.
And no, and I'm just saying, Terrence will call. He'll call in and say, I'm sorry I'm late calling in, but I'm in Zanzibar. And, I know how that works. But me and Sister Rona, Sister Donna, Sister Pamela, and all of you're not leaving us. No.
Right.
No, we all going. Can you see elevated places broadcasting from Zanzibar?
Come on now.
This is what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Because if we're talking about living 150, 200 years to get back on that road towards our real life, that's where we're going to have to live. I'm not going to make it to that living in Chicago. That's for sure. The environment is everything. It's everything.
Yeah.
That's real.
That's real. Imagine a country where you don't smell any pork at all. No pork anywhere.
None.
No homosexuality anywhere.
Nowhere.
Now, I know Sister Donna's hollering about that because she was complaining the other day about all the smells of the pig in Memphis.
Right.
Yes, that's barbecue capital of the world.
We
have to get up out of here. Allah is pushing us. He's pushing us.
Yes,
it's time to go.
Yes,
this
ma'am.
This is beautiful.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we got, speaking of Memphis, we got Brother Hoyle on the he'll bear witness. Brother Hoyle is on the line. I know he's excited about this program.
Big Phil's awake, the wide awake man. I want to agree with you, Sister Ava. This is Pig is the king and catfish is the prince. But,
wow.
I wanted to say I'm proud of those the brother and the sister, because, you know, it's the worst thing, family. The devil hates to see the black man in America travel and make international a friend.
Amen.
And, I mean, you know, Master Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan making friendships in all walks of life. And I'm like Brother John. Yeah. When I worked at the airport, I deliver right now hospital equipment around the country and parts and stuff like that. But when I worked at the airport, I worked with brothers from Rwanda, East Africa, Somalia, Ethiopia, Kenya, Ghana, Gambia, Senegal, and you got a chance to eat the different foods. And believe it or not, Memphis has a large African, you can come to all, you can get Ethiopian food, West African food, Rwandan food. It's a big African population here in Memphis, believe it or not. People don't think it.
I did not know that.
Ma'am. When you come here, you got Senegalese, Ethiopian, you got about four Ethiopian restaurants, Somali restaurants, you know, they got the, I've seen the restaurants in Rwanda, you know, they got the, what they call teff, you know, the little bread, and then you got the West African food, which the couscous and the fried fish with the banana and all of that. But I want to tell you about this situation that just came up. We were talking about injustice, George Floyd. It was a situation in Tupelo. It happened yesterday, a day before yesterday. A brother, a business owner, was outside of his own business exercising, and the police ran up on him saying he'd fit the description. Mm-hmm. It's all over the news right now. It's in Tupelo. This is where my father's from. And that's a place maybe 10 years ago where Sister Ava, you know about the situation where they let the dog bite the man's genitals out in Tupelo. His last name was Comfort. This was about 10 years ago.
Yeah, horrific.
Yes, ma'am. So this is a latest situation in Tupelo. But, you know, this is just one of many, like I say, in America that we don't know. And, you know, this brother and sister were talking about the atmosphere there. You know, like I said, Master Muhammad, I'm going to have to burn the ether out on this wicked planet. You know, but we're going to run it for a little while. But one thing we have to do, family, and I'm so proud of you, brother and sister, is travel.
Thank you.
We got to travel.
Thank you.
I'm proud of Sister Ava Darius that they travel. I remember her and her tapes, they go to Fiji Islands and stuff like that. And that's what we got to do is travel as a people. We think we go to Florida and think we we go to Los Angeles. I mean, which is cool, you know. America has a lot, but we think we go to Mobile or Biloxi. We think we've done something in Memphis, you know. I've been down to Tunica. Negroes ain't even been across the bridge, you know. So, but that's how they. That's how they messed up our black people in America. Like, Steve was right. There's people in your brothers in Atlanta. My brother lives down there. You know, black people that haven't even left the city. That's how. But we got to travel. But Allah is making this. You know, he's Master Muhammad's in control. You're making friends, brother and sister. Inshallah, I'm saving my money. I'm gonna look for him and get on a YouTube channel. And this is where we can do business. We can get business commerce, because the main thing that the devil hates is us doing economic business with our people, especially here in America. The devil works day and night to keep us even working with ourselves. So once we get that travel going, you know, because one thing it was an artist, Akon said. He said, why don't you rappers in America come to Africa? You could double your money because all of these countries here, you know, come to Africa. I said, you got 54 countries here. He said, one country with all these tribes, you could be a billionaire overnight. He said, well, Akon is building a city, brothers. He's building cities, brothers and sisters. He's a multi-billionaire. We're just so limited to Tennessee, Mississippi, California. Yeah, our limited thinking. We got the world waiting on us. But a beautiful show. Brothers and sisters, I'm getting in touch with you. Thank you, family. And may Allah bless you all.
Thank you.
Inshallah. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and to Brother Hoyle's point, you know, these Trump people and all of them talking about we want our country back. We have to start saying we want our planet back because, as was pointed out earlier,
that's right.
This
that's
entire planet belongs to us, and that's how we have to think. And
yes,
one of the
ma'am.
Things I love about the minister, the minister will get up, you know, we'll be at a meeting or in the office with him, and he'll just say, I'm going to Iran. He'll say it like you're saying you're going to the supermarket around the corner.
Yes, ma'am. Wow.
He's the manifestation of a free black man. And
yeah,
that's
right.
A nightmare for a free black man is like a nuclear weapon. This is one man. And look at the fear he has generated in Shaitan, Satan, in the synagogue of Satan. Because he'll just say, and I remember he said it a couple years ago, I want to go to Mecca for Ramadan.
Right.
I want to go and do Umrah, and I'm going to take some people. And he just did it.
Right. Say that. That's right. Come on.
Now,
that's right. That's right.
And like Brother Hoyle said, we think if we go to Atlanta or Orlando to Disney World, you know, call everybody
right,
tell them we made it. You know, we bless our hearts. We just have a slave mentality. We have to expand our horizons.
Yes.
And like
yes.
you said, you know, my daughter's just going back and forth. I'm going to decide, or do I want to do Atlanta? Do I want to do Rwanda? And see, what I want to do is have homes in all these different places. You
that's
know?
Right. That's right. That's right.
There you
yes,
go. There you go.
That's the other thing.
Yes, sir.
You know, we act like we can only live in one place.
Wow.
Come on.
Exactly.
Come on.
Thank you, Sister Ava. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. Thank you. Thank you.
And it's not as hard as we make it seem.
Right. It's us making it hard.
Yeah.
What did that general in that army say? I have seen the enemy, and it is us. Because there's nothing stopping us. It's like the minister said, if we stop thinking about white people, they will cease to exist. You know, meaning that even if they're walking around, they'll be neutralized. We allow them to enter into our plans by worrying about what they're going to think or do, or whether or not they'll allow us or finance us.
Yes, yes, ma'am. That's right.
Take them out of the equation. But listen, we're down. This program was so good. We're at the end. Brother and sister, boy, if you turn the light bulbs on in our brains tonight.
All praise be to Allah.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So,
I can't stand enough. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
And
if I can say,
Oh, yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I was so excited because you're like my Shiro.
Oh, no.
I was like, there's no way in the world I'm going to miss this.
That's right.
Oh, I am so excited. Thank
That's
you so much
said.
For allowing us to be on the show.
Oh,
Ava,
please.
I can't
oh,
even
no.
explain how many times you saved my life and my journey with your books.
Praise
Look,
be to Allah.
I am so blessed
Thank
right
you,
now.
Beloved.
Thank you so much for allowing us on your show.
And salute, Brother T.T.
Well, thank you in advance for having us by the house. When we come over
yes.
there
yes.
to one,
come on,
and
come on.
I want to also, we're going to have you all back on, and of course I want to thank our co-host Brother Terrence for reaching out to
That's
you.
That.
I want to thank our executive producer
yes.
Sister Rona, our legal contributor Sister
yes.
Pamela Muhammad, the whole Elevated Places team, and of course all of the callers and those who are logged in. Thank you all for making Elevated Places the place to be. May Allah continue to bless us all with love and the light of understanding as we leave you in peace.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Alaikum salam. Yes. Crazy to Allah.
Thank you.